The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of Clear Channel Radio, nor should they be regarded as legal or investment advice. Seek qualified counsel before acting on any views expressed in this show.
This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
And a very good morning to all of you. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ, where we try to give investors a fair shake. I'm here once again with Alice Wessel and Rob Simon. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
And Manny's with us once again this week. Good morning, Manny.
Good morning.
Well, last week we spent quite a bit of time discussing some of the intricacies of the Social Security benefits system, and we actually have a question left over from last week that we did not get a chance to address. So, Alice, why don't you shoot out of the gates with that one for us?
Okay, sure thing. I would also like to say that please feel free to give us a call at 232-2000. If you have any questions, you'd like to talk to us directly, or we could read over the air or send us an email. You can go to our website at wesselinvestment.com, and there's a Contact Us link.
Yeah, and I might add that if you have an interest in having a portfolio review where you just want to see what your allocations are, how expensive your funds are, research on stocks or any other holdings, we have lots of independent research. We'll share it with you. We'll give it to you. No charge. We will do it just as a matter of generating goodwill within the community. So stop in, give us a call, and we'll be glad to sit with you for an hour or so and go over things for you. So go ahead, Alice.
Sure. This question came in from Amanda. She says, my husband is now in hospice care, and I would like to know about my eligibility for Social Security survivor's benefits. I have two children who are 15 and 20 years old.
All right. Well, in general, a widower's insurance benefit equals 100% of the deceased worker's benefit. So that's the good news. The bad news is that to the extent that there would be other claimants within her family, namely her children, that benefit or the other benefits could be reduced to a lesser amount based on some type of calculation that the Social Security Administration would do with respect to what it calls family maximums. Okay, so you can't have any one family taking more than a certain amount of total benefits. So she'd receive 100% of his benefit subject to the family maximum. Let's just in general cover some of the categories of people who would be eligible for Social Security survivor's benefits. Number one, a widow or widower can receive full benefits at his or her full retirement age, which is typically 65 to age 67, or a reduced benefit as early as age 60. If Amanda is, by chance, a disabled widow, she could possibly receive benefits as early as age 50. So you get an extra 10 years if you're disabled, and not just disabled in general, but disabled from the point of view of the Social Security Administration, which is, honestly speaking, that's a pretty strict test, and many people who consider themselves to be disabled might not actually be when the Social Security Administration passes its judgment. A widow or a widower can receive benefits at any age if he or she takes care of a child or children of the deceased who is entitled to a child's benefit and is age 16 or younger, or who is disabled. So if that child is 16 or younger, or that child is disabled, it doesn't make any difference how old the widow or widower would be. So maybe that would apply to Amanda in this case. Under certain circumstances, benefits can also be paid to a deceased stepchildren, grandchildren, and adopted children. So I don't know if these children fall into any of those categories, but she might take a look at that as well. And surprisingly, most people I don't think would know this, but I do because I actually read the Social Security handbook. If by chance Amanda's husband's parents were dependent upon him, which is not the usual case, they could also claim benefits if they were age 62 or older. So there are any number of ways that she could claim benefits and be eligible for them. So hopefully at least some of that will apply to her. I think that wraps up the Social Security questions that we had from last week. Is that right, Alice?
Yes, it does.
All right. So, Rob, I think you had something. Were you watching the Susie Orman show?
Well, I was actually listening to I'm in the certified financial planner review for my exam, and he was talking about that Susie Orman last year at some point had recommended to her national audience to buy municipal bonds, and he was talking about all of the bad points about why that might not be good to recommend to a broad group of people just to buy municipal securities.
Yeah, well, first I'd like to say that I'd rather watch a Ronco TV commercial at 1 in the morning than watch the Susie Orman show. But anyway, go ahead and try to hit some of those high points about making blanket recommendations to a general listenership. So, I mean, what are the problems there?
Sure. So in this case, since you're recommending it to a broad group of people, for one thing, municipal securities aren't right for all types of accounts. So if the person only has IRA accounts and they're putting municipals in there, they're not getting any of the tax benefit that provides.
That custodian might actually refuse to even hold the municipal bonds or bond funds within an IRA account.
Right.
Okay. So, that's right. So you can't just make that statement and then have people go out there and rejigger their 401ks, which are also tax deferred, like an IRA, into municipal bond funds, which offer less yield than taxable accounts, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you're just throwing money away.
Right.
What else?
Another factor might be that the person would be in a low tax bracket, which would do away with some of the benefit that would provide, since they're normally based on the person being in the 28 or higher bracket.
Yeah. We have about a minute left before the break, but let me just say this. The municipal bond market in general is priced so that the yields on those instruments, because they're tax exempt, at least in some respects, they offer lower yields. That is the tax. So it's only going to be worth it for certain investors who are in relatively high tax brackets to even consider that in the first place. So we're bumping against the break. We'll continue this discussion when we get back. My name is Glenn Wessel. Thanks for tuning in.